friendship. Knowing you're
Well, it's Monday, it's January 23rd, and we're glad you're here. I'm especially glad I have a friend in the studio, a new friend, and in fact, last Thursday night, the Bear Chair, many of you know Skip Devil, who we call the Bear Chair, who's been foundational and fundamental in many of our trips to Israel, where he helped collect teddy bears all throughout the area, and after picking up all these teddy bears, literally thousands of teddy bears, and helping deliver them up to O'Hare, he got tagged the Bear Chair. So the Bear Chair said, Mark, I have this friend. He farms near the Farmer City area. He's a godly man. He's been involved in mission trips. He has a real heart for serving kingdom purposes. You got to meet up with him, and I think he'd be a great candidate for a Testimony Tuesday or one of your morning programs. So this last Thursday, we got treated to a dinner out at one of my favorite restaurants, the Texas Roadhouse, and so I got to meet you, Kyle, and so it was nice just to have that great dinner time together with friends, the fellowship. But I think between you and I, we must have entertained Skip, the Bear Chair, because I think we both held our own. We told stories for about 2 straight hours.
I don't know if he got a word in edgewise.
I really don't think he said much.
I think he had a little bit to say about Israel as you were expounding upon the subject of Israel in great form. But I think he mentioned a couple different times and a couple different the scenes he'd seen when he was there and just how beautiful it was.
Yeah.
It was good. It was all good.
Yeah, it was all good. And I was just fascinated by some of the ways God's worked in and through your life and just your passion and your spiritual gifts and how that's caused you to be involved in missions and serving on the mission field and yet not necessarily seeing yourself per se as a missionary, but
right,
knowing that you were a minister of God's word and God's resources and God's time and that you invested that in people. And we're going to talk a little about that. But before I introduce you a little more formally with our listeners, there's a few little house cleaning details that I want to inform our radio listeners on. We, the Singing Men of GNN, sang on Saturday night at the U of I hockey game. And though our Illini lost 2-1, it was fun that all of the Singing Men got to shuffle onto that ice and sing the national anthem. And the crowd went wild. It was really fun. It's always a great crowd to sing the national anthem for. And they cheered. And Coach Chad Castle, who's my neighbor, he was very pleased and happy. And all the guys were high-fiving the hockey players as they got off the ice. So it was a lot of fun. And I told our listeners that the crowd is just wild, but it was pretty passive. Usually they're screaming, I mean, saying things that,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
I warned our church ladies it might not be the best venue for them to come out and see, but it was a pretty good crowd, and I didn't hear, like, you know, when we score, usually the whole crowd starts saying, it's all your fault, to their goalie.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I mean, then those are the nicer things that are said, but I really didn't hear that so much, and so it was, I don't know if it was that we had prayed up our occasion to serve the Lord there in that venue or whatever, but it seemed like a good crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good crowd, and I know some of the Singing Men said there was this one couple that were asking about, now what station is this, and tell us about it, and there was a couple Korean girls that were really intrigued that all of us guys from all ages got out there and sang, and so we had some good questions. That was kind of fun, and we appreciate Chad Castle. He's the coach, and he said, anytime you guys want to sing the national anthem, come on out again. So that was great. And my brother, he pointed out to me in an email that the Sinners came to town and dealt the Illini a blow. And he calls Wisconsin. The players from Wisconsin came and took on the Illini, and it was kind of misfortunate. I had a friend treat me to the Illini game yesterday, and it was kind of a lot of fun to cheer on the Illini, but we lost. But my little brother always says those Wisconsiners came to town. So I apologize if you're from Wisconsin, but that's a little humor between my brother and I. And Wisconsin, you did a good job. But our Fighting Illini now have 2 losses in a row, so we got to turn that around. And thirdly, and I'm going to do a special interview, Kyle, so you're going to want to tune in this Friday, but Pastor Randy Gauger preached on one of my favorite topics on Sunday yesterday. He talked about spiritual gifts and basically how we can discover our sweet spot, that spiritual gift that God's wired us with as we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart, how we can serve the kingdom and optimize like our life, our life story, our life situation, and flourish for God when we know what our spiritual gifts are. And so he talked about that, and he gave a lot of different points and why every Christ follower is really a minister called to do kingdom work. And I said, Pastor Randy, after a sermon, I said, that was a great message. Will you come on the air with me on Friday and take our listeners through? Maybe some don't know that they have spiritual gifts or don't know what they're supposed to do with them or how to figure out what their spiritual gift is or the purpose behind why God's given us spiritual gifts. So he said, I will do that. So on Friday, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And I hope you can tune in and hear Pastor Randy Gauger kind of share some of the research and some of his thoughts on how God literally has dished out spiritual gifts for kingdom purposes and why he does that. So that'll be this Friday, Lord willing. And I share that also, Kyle, because as I've gotten to know you just because of last Thursday, and I think we've been having church here for about an hour and a half or so.
No doubt. We've been
talking about different life experiences and the parallels of some of the things you've gone through that I've gone through, some of the unique ways we've seen God use us in other people's lives. One of the things that it seemed evident to me, you're a giver.
Yes.
And you like to see kingdom work accomplished. You like to see
Absolutely.
Kingdom work furthered, expanded.
Yes.
Yet you're also a servant, too. And it just seems like you want to serve in various ways. And as we talked last Thursday, you've been serving on some mission trips.
Yes.
You've been equipping people to go on mission trips. And so I want to have you kind of highlight a little of that recent trip you served on in Africa. But before I do that, you've said some interesting things to me before we went on the air. One was illustration about It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
And just how unique that story spoke to you and certain things that God has revealed to you. So having a wonderful life or being in the center of God's will generally is a wonderful thing. But oftentimes getting there's a lot of struggle, there's heartache, there's disappointment. There's times that we can be angry at God. I've had many testimonies where people turned on God. They didn't feel he fulfilled what they thought were their dreams, their life desires. They felt like, God, you've hurt me, you've offended me, you haven't come through. So they turned on him, they've rebelled. I mean, all of us have that tendency.
Yes.
And maybe through some of your testimony today, I'm sure many of our listeners can identify with similar things that they've gone through. So I hope you can be transparent on some of your story.
Absolutely.
You attend Victory Christian Center in Farmer City. Pastor Scott Millis, and many of our listeners know Larry Millis. We've had him on our morning program some years ago, but Scott's one of his sons, and
yes.
he's your senior pastor there. You're married to beautiful Kim, and you have four children.
That's right.
I know that's kind of been a unique story, and how God brought her into your life and how you've been married for a number of years. And you probably will want to do a shout out for her and your four children.
Absolutely. Hi, darling. You're beautiful and wonderful in every way. Erica, Logan, Aaron, and Jake, you are gifts from the Lord. Just glad you're ours.
Amen. You farm in Farmer City and the surrounding areas. I think you and your brother oversee about 6,000 acres.
Yeah, that's right. We farm about 6,000 acres. Actually, there's two brothers involved. There's three of us, three boys that farm together. I'm by far the baby. I'm 47, and my oldest brother's 69, and I don't think he knows the meaning of the word quit, and that's okay, you know. But we do, and we also harvest seed corn primarily for Monsanto there at Farmer City. They built a huge facility a few years ago, and we harvest corn for them.
Hey, you mentioned that about your brother, and that makes me think, isn't that pretty true of most farmers, though? I mean, you guys work long, long hours, and you know, some of the people that think, well, they just have to kind of harvest that crop. No, there's planning, there's equipment, there's just...
You know what 4x4 stands for, don't you?
Mm-mm.
On the sides of the pickup trucks.
Okay.
You know, most farmers, this is the common analogy you get in the coffee shop. Well, it's just 4 weeks in the spring and 4 weeks in the
yeah,
fall.
Yeah.
4x4, you know?
Oh.
It isn't like that at all. Farming is very much a big business anymore. Sadly, it's not nearly as community-oriented as it once was. But we're glad that we have what we have, and we're doing what we're doing. And frankly, it's all for the Lord. It all belongs to him anyway.
Now, I know we have a lot of farmers that tune in. A lot of our friends are farmers, and even some of the singing men, they farm. But for those of us that are maybe agriculturally challenged, what does 6,000 acres look like? Like, how much time does that take? Or what is a harvest? How many days, or what does that crop look like?
Well, our harvest is very unique. You know, in the springtime, you can get a lot of ground covered in 3 to 4 weeks' time. That's not an exaggeration, but we're just talking about a specific time for getting the crop planted. But you've got, after the crop's planted, there's spraying, there's mowing, there's tending, there's scouting. There's so many things that you do all summer long. And when harvest comes, it just depends on the year and the weather. Mm-hmm. It might be 4 weeks. It may be 6 weeks. You know, we've had them in 2009 was probably the most challenging year we ever had trying to get a crop out. We were still drying corn in January. And because it just kept raining and raining, we'd get 2 days of harvest in and we wouldn't be able to go again for a week. And it's just as variable as the weather is variable. It's just something you're constantly thinking about what you're doing and the next step, because there's very few things that you really control. You do things with excellence as a farmer, and you plant your crops and you pay attention to the details. However, you don't decide when it rains,
mm-hmm.
okay? You don't decide how many growing degree days there's going to be. Those are things that are totally out of your control that you just learn, especially as a believer, that you say, listen, God, you're faithful. I trust you. And that's probably been one of the biggest life lessons for me as a Christian, is learning to just not sit there and fret myself into a frenzy mm-hmm. because of things I can't change.
I would think that probably most farmers have learned patience more than most of us. I don't know, moms probably learned it probably the most of anyone.
Yeah, probably right.
But maybe that reliance on God, or that trusting in Him. Well, here's what I'd like to ask. You sit and have coffee with maybe other farmers. Now, what's the unbelieving farmer? How does he wrestle with all those unknowns, those things that are beyond their control? You know, you have a peace because you've accepted Jesus into your heart. You know, you have a sovereign God that you're praying to, that you're saying, Lord, you know, we need the crop. I need to provide for my family. You know our needs. So you have that kind of that trust level.
Absolutely.
But I'm wondering, how do some of the other farmers maybe deal with that uncertainty?
I'll give you the parallel. Think about a funeral.
Hmm.
The people that come and sit in a funeral that are believers and know that they have the hope, hopefully, that that person is lying before them,
mm-hmm.
that's just the shell that they're now spending eternity with God in heaven. But think about the unbeliever who's sitting beside them. It's no different. You're either a believer or you're an unbeliever. There's no mm-hmm. gray area here, you know. And as a believer, as a born-again person, we've learned by study and by principle and by mentoring and by discipleship to trust the Lord. You know, but that unbelieving person, they don't know. They don't understand. Well, it's no different with the farmers. They spend their time grueling and mm-hmm. worrying, and some get numb to it. I think some people, you know, the old adage, there's some people that are better by nature than there are others by grace. You know, how well we know. There'll be a person that may not be saved, but man, they've just got a demeanor about them that they're not going to worry. But they are the exception.
Right.
You know, and it's an exciting thing to be able to share, because you can take those life lessons as a farmer, and you can just about apply them across the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's a phenomenal place. It really is, and it's exciting. I'm grateful. You know, farmers are becoming less and less. Farms are becoming bigger and bigger. I'm not sure I like it, but I also know that that's just the way it is. And frankly, you know, in times past, I've looked and I've said, God, where is this all going to end? You know, I have 4 children that I love. Not certain any of them have any interest in agriculture. And I just keep saying to myself, you know what? If the business ends when I retire, it's yours anyway, Lord, that's fine. But in the meantime, it does concern me long term. Who's going to be the people that rise up? But I know this much. God's faithful.
Yeah.
He knows people need to eat. So He's going to take care of it somehow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not sure how.
Yeah. But you're learning to trust in Him. But that wasn't always the case.
No.
Typically, we used to have our Testimony Tuesday, where oftentimes we ask somebody to share some of their life story or some of their spiritual pilgrimage or their journey. And you grew up, you loved your mom and dad. They were wonderful parents. They taught you morals. They taught you the hard work ethic. They taught you to care for people, to care for the family. At a point early on in your life, up to about the age of 8, they encouraged you to go to Sunday school. But it was at that point, about 8 years old, where they kind of gave you some freedoms to decide
freedoms,
for yourself.
They just said, do what you want to do. And what did I choose to do? I quit going to Sunday school. Why do I want to get up early on Sunday morning, put on nice clothes? I was 8 years old. You know, so I take off on a life as a young adolescent, and I have an honorary cousin who doesn't have any semblance of godliness about him, and who takes me down paths I don't want to go, stealing pornographic magazines out of the drug drugstores and sharing them with me, and I'm just on this rocket ride with him, going nowhere fast, you know. But thankfully, in my mid-teens there, I'd fallen affectionate towards a young lady, and this girl had absolutely no interest in me. I asked her to one dance, went to one dance with her only. That was homecoming. And then the next week, she was best friends and a boyfriend to the guy that had driven my car at homecoming. Mm. I didn't share that with you earlier. Yes. And here I am. Man, I'm just laid flat thinking this is the girl I'm supposed to marry, and she won't have anything to do with me. But her mama loved Jesus. And her mama spent a lot of her life with her daughters trying to get people in a place to where they could hear the gospel. And she started dragging me everywhere. If there was a meeting somewhere, a singer or a pastor or a camp meeting, she was taking me. And finally, I surrendered my life in a now defunct ministry's meeting, Mike Warnke, the Christian comedian. Well, how that turned out, but doesn't matter. You know, the message was presented, the gospel was preached, and I accepted the call, and it was real for me. You know, and I started walking it out. Now, I had a lot of things to leave behind and a lot of things that I had to turn from and a lot of things I had to repent for. You know, old habits that died hard, you know. But frankly, that's when the Lord got a hold of my personality, and I began to develop. You know, I've said to people many times about the gospel, it's too late. You can't convince me that the gospel is not the gospel, and you can't convince me that tithing's not real or that giving and being good to other people. Those were all things that became part of my makeup very young as a Christian, which have led me to where I am today, mm-hmm. you know. And gratefully so. Now, yeah, I got married young, had a blurb on the radar during my marriage, and at that time learned that that's when God forgives us. He's faithful to forgive us. He says so. If we ask Him and we repent, but we also have to forgive ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that little quote that I told you when we had dinner, Lester Summerall, years ago, pointed to his garage, and it had two garage doors, and they were both open, and he looked at us, and he goes, "Boys," he says, "you know why I've got two garage doors on my garage?" And we looked at him going, "No, sir." And then, of course, he's a minister from up in South Bend, Indiana. He says, "I'll tell you why." He said, "Life's about going forward. I don't believe in back it up."
Yeah.
You know?
And he literally, because you were at the church campus,
yes,
and his home was on that property.
It was.
You basically could see he had two full
garage doors, and you could look right through the garage.
And these aren't the garage doors you just walk in. These
no,
were
no,
for
this,
the car.
This is for the
this
car.
The
you
big...
drove it through, and you circled out.
Yeah.
"I don't believe in backing up." And, you know, being young, I was 20 at the time, it grabbed a hold of me. And that's when I knew that being about Jesus was what life had to be continually and moving forward. And here we are today. I farmed 26 years. And you were talking about mission trips and so on and so forth. And I'd like to share a few moments about those. And
I'm going to have you do that.
Okay.
If you can come back tomorrow and we can have a second day of testimonies,
hey,
and
there
sharing,
you go.
And we can focus on the missions trips and how God has worked in and through your lives and how He's really put that on your heart to not only just support missionaries, but to literally go yourself and get a firsthand account of what goes on and how you can have a hands-on experience and a life-changing
fabulous.
Experience. So we're going to have you back tomorrow. But I want to take you back to that point in your teenage years just to close out this program. What was it that drew you to God? I mean, you have this lady, this kind of former girlfriend's mom wanting to introduce you to the Savior, but you're kind of a kid like most kids. You've made mistakes. You haven't entertained the idea of this God who loves you. What was the change that made you know that He really did care, that He wanted you to be His own, that He wanted you to follow Jesus, that Jesus was forgiving you of your sins?
I knew that there was an empty place in my heart. And I didn't know why, and I knew that I was hoping that this girl would be what filled that place in my heart, and she wasn't, and I was devastated. And frankly, when I was presented the gospel message and could grasp for just a moment what it meant for Christ to be willing to lay down His life for me, that if I would ask Him, if I would repent of my sins and ask Him to become my Savior, that He would fill my heart and that He would love me forever, and that He already has loved me forever. When that resonated inside of me, it got a hold of me, and I was able for the first time to feel loved without having to have that natural love. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe that exactly. It filled that void for me. That vacuum that's inside every human being that cries out for God. And that was the moment of contact. That was the moment of where it all began.
Now, Kyle, I'm sure there's many people that are tuned in. One of the unique things that we do, and you and I did this before we went on the air, we prayed over this program. We said, God, use our words, our stories, our illustration to reach somebody that might be scanning the dial. They say sometimes as many as 20% of the listeners to Christian radio are people that don't go to church or have never maybe entertained the idea they could have a personal relationship with God. So I'm going to ask you, in the closing like minute and a half, the closing 2 minutes that we have, what would you say to that listener that's kind of tuned in and they're like, I've never heard these kind of comments from somebody on radio talking about having a relationship with God, that I can be freed from the guilt of sin, that I can change my life, that God loves me, that he wants to have a relationship with me, and there's this eternity that you can have where there's no more pain or suffering? What would you say to that individual that's maybe just tuned in, kind of perplexed by what we're saying?
I just want to encourage you, whoever you are, to know that God does love you, that he's very vested in humanity, that he knew before the beginning of time what it was going to take to reconcile man to himself. And he knew that that gift was going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, there's lots of things being thrown at us in the media and all the information we can all access. But I want to tell you, he changed the face of time. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, spent his ministry on this earth, and this earth has never been the same since. He brought the culmination of what had happened the centuries before in the Old Testament. He fulfilled those scriptures, and if you study it, and if you pay attention to it, and if you look at it, even just from the philosophical level, it's probably one of the greatest stories of all time.
Mm-hmm. And the mere fact that the scriptures account that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So we would pray, listener, that if you're being stirred or convicted or you're perplexed or inquisitive about learning some more about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can always call the station, or we have trained counselors that can answer any questions that you have about establishing a relationship with God. And the 800 number for that is 1-888-NEED-HIM. 1-888-NEED-HIM. And you can always call us at the station at 217-367-7777. And who knows, maybe Kyle will get you out in the combine sometime and he can share all about a relationship with God. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night. And I also should mention, in case you just tuned in and you missed a part of today's broadcast, it's archived at our website, greatnewsradio.org, and you'll see Kyle Kopp's name. That's K-Y-L-E-K-O-P-P. It's right there on our website under greatnewsradio.org under the archive programs link. And Kyle, we'll have you back tomorrow to kind of share about your missions experience and some more of the story on how God's been working in and through you. So have a great day, everyone. Draw near to God, and I promise you, he'll draw near to you.